The Bible says, praise to whom praise due, honor to whom honor. Jim doesn't know that I'm going to say it, and Ken doesn't know, and Shan doesn't know, and I'm going to talk about Shan. For those of you who were here when he spoke those words at Helen's funeral, I thought, now this is my opinion, I thought they were the finest words that you could find that he spoke to us. I don't know if I've ever heard at a funeral anyone speak more eloquently than he did. He spoke from his heart, and I detected, when he spoke of Helen, I detected that he had a love there for Helen. His speech was impeccable. And I don't know whether y'all realize what you've got here, but I'm telling you right now, you can put him up against anybody. I mean that, Jim. I mean Shan.
So you were really talking about somebody?
No, I wasn't either. Of all the dangers confronting the brotherhood, there is none more dangerous than an uninformed membership. Amen. In Hosea, the 4th chapter and verse 6, God said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Now, all of us know that people who are not grounded in the faith are easy marks for someone to lead them astray. Christians owe their loyalty to the Lord, to the Lord's word, and to the Lord's church. Brethren, that means that we will have respect for the scriptures, and that we as children of God will be biblical in our teaching, in our belief, and in what we practice. Now there are many parents, and some Christians, parents, who are zealous for their children to get an education and to have good health, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. Most all parents want their children to get a good education and to have good health. We did ours. We wanted that for ours. But too many people are not zealous in trying to teach their children to know God and to know his word, and that's a shame. We studied last time. I've had a hard time trying to figure out what we're going to do after we get through with this. I've changed it twice, so you just have to bear with me. We studied last time that there is no place in the New Testament, no place that you can find a scripture where the Holy Spirit taught us to use instruments of music in our worship. We studied last time that we're not to transgress God's word, we're not to go beyond, we're not to do things that we ought not to do, but to follow his teaching. 2 John 9 says, not we not to transgress. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 said, we're not to add or subtract from it. Now, last time we studied three verses from the Old Testament where God said, you must not add, you must not take away from my word. We read three scriptures from the New Testament where it said, we're not to add to or take away from God's word. I hope that in our study, and you wrote those scriptures down if you don't know them, and you went home and looked at them to see that what we were talking about is found in the Word of God. Now we're going to start right now with what then does God, what kind of music does God want? We talked about the other. Let's go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now I want you to notice those words there. We are speaking to one another when we sing hymns and spiritual songs, and where are we to make that melody? In our heart, not upon a musical instrument. I looked up melody in the dictionary. In fact, I looked at two dictionaries, one Webster and the other was Oxford. And listen to what it says about melody. Melody, number one, is the chanting of music. It is a musical phrase. It is a sweet or agreeable succession or arrangement of sounds. It is a rhythmic succession of single tones organized as a whole. I didn't find anything in the dictionary that even mentioned instruments. We're to sing with our lips, and we are to make melody in our heart while we sing unto God. Isn't that what Scripture says? Singing hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. The melody we make comes from our heart. Let's go to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He talks about let the word of Christ dwell in you. What word is he talking about? Beg your pardon? You go ahead and speak up, because I hear you, but I don't hear what you... What?
The Bible.
Okay, that's correct. We do get them from the Bible. Those words are the words that the apostles taught to the world. That's the words that we find in the Word of God. Also, what does it mean to admonish? Beg your pardon?
Teach or correct.
All right. Dictionary says admonishing is a gentle or friendly reproof. It is a counsel or a warning. So when we sing, according to this, we're teaching and admonishing, are we not? What is teaching? Now everybody ought to know that. What is teaching?
Conveying knowledge.
Beg your pardon?
Conveying knowledge.
I got to get me some hearing aids.
Amen.
That's exactly correct. Let me give you that. You're 100%, whoever said that, correct. Teaching is a means of providing spiritual education. It is to show or instruct or to make known, and it is to impart information so others can acquire knowledge. So that's exactly right. What is edification for?
Building up.
That's correct. When we sing here anytime, but especially on the Lord's Day when we sing, who are we singing to? Yes. God is the audience. We're not the artist. We are in the assembly. But God is in the audience. And we're singing to please Him. But we do something to one another. We edify our edification through our singing. Singing does, you notice how much we've talked about. Singing does a lot of things. It's not just something to... That's not correct. You put your heart in it. And the reason is of who you're singing to. If I was singing to Shan, see, I got the name right. I could sing any way I want to or how I want to do it, but not to God. God sees us when we're here. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them, beholding their order. God is with us. So we should sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding. Make melody in our heart unto God. We're not to do anything just to please ourselves. That's not who we're trying to please in our worship. We are to please God. And how do we know how to please God?
Because He told us how.
He told us in His Word. That's the only reason we know. So we follow His instructions. You know, brethren, we love one another, and we want the best for one another. But singing is important. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not a good singer. I don't know about... No, I took 1 year in school, but I took it just to have an easy course. It didn't turn out easy. When I went in for a test, that teacher said, sitting at a piano, "Mean, and what is that?" I didn't know what it was. So I had to tell every note that she hit on there. But singing is very important. It thrills the soul. It inspires us. It lifts our hearts. It lifts our voices unto God. So singing is not for our enjoyment. It's for our edification. It is for God's enjoyment. Now it says singing with grace. I looked up a bunch of dictionaries on this, and I'm going to tell you what they said, and I'm going to tell you the one I think that it means. First, it said grace is unmerited favor. We know that from God. It is a virtue that comes from God. It is a special favor from God. It is divine assistance given to humans. And I guess that might be a pretty good one, that God helps us. Then it's, and I was surprised at this, grace is being kind and showing decency. I looked up two dictionaries. If anybody got a good, better answer, let me know. All right, now we've studied what music or we should not use. Now we've looked at the music we should use. Before we move on, has anybody got a comment or a question that they want to say or ask about music in the Lord's church? Yes.
Correct.
is where we teach in our singing to one another. The Lord did not say for us to sing pretty. If he did, I would be left out. There's people in this assembly that have beautiful voices. I've had some sit behind me. I've had some sit in front of me. And I have listened to those that have led, and they know what they're doing, especially this one over here. Singing is something that's very special. It is one of the things that God wants us to do in our worship to him. There are others, but singing he wants us to, and singing helps us. Any other comments? I told you that we were going to get carried away here.
You know, I read one time that it's good for your health.
Beg your pardon?
I read an article, a medical article, and it said it was good for your health. It's healthy to sing.
I'm sure that's true.
Lift your spirits as well as others.
Beg your pardon? Many a time, and I'll speak of myself, many a time, and it's true, I've gone to worship and I wasn't in that good a mood, but when we were singing and all, my spirit was lifted. And I left the building. I never go to worship that I don't come away and leave feeling better than when I went in there. And it's not due to the preacher. He can help and encourage, but he could be a bad preacher, and that don't make any difference. When I say bad, I don't mean that. I mean, he may not be one of my favorites. I'll put it that way. But I have never listened to... You know, when I go come in to hear somebody teach a class or preach, I make myself listen to what they have to say. I don't care if they're dull or what, I listen. And I always get something out of what they say. And I leave, I don't know how to put it, I've heard it put, you come in with an empty bag and you leave with a bag full after you've worshiped God. And you ought to leave with a better attitude and a thing after you have worship with God. If you're one of God's children, you know, the Bible says that we're going to sing when we get to heaven. We're going to gather around God's throne. I like that passage that says that there's such an innumerable host of people there. They so many you can't even count them. There's going to be a lot of people there. And I hope all of us are in that deal. Now, we're going to talk for just a little bit. We don't have much time. Like I said, I've changed this lesson three times. Twice over here in the RV. I had it once before I came here and thought I had it pretty good. But I'm one of those that after I look at it a couple of times, I think, oh, no, that is not going to work. We're going to talk about, and I'm going to ask you some questions. Shan talked about some of this last Wednesday night, and so a few of these questions or statements he has made, but that doesn't make any difference. We're going to make them again. We're going to talk about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke the 16th chapter. Now, we're not going to read it, but if you remember, there was a rich man and a beggar in this life, and the rich man had everything, the beggar had nothing. Then they crossed over after death to that other place. The rich man who had everything lost it, and the beggar who had nothing gained everything. And that's what we're going to talk about here, is the use of our money and being a part of this world. Is it wrong And I want some answers from these questions I'm going to ask. Is it wrong in God's sight to be rich?
No.
No, it is not. And the reason it's not, many people in the Bible were very, very rich. And I can tell you from stories that I've read and books I've read down through the stream of time, there's been people that was rich that were faithful unto God. So no, that's not true. What is it about money that the Lord condemns?
Love of money.
Oh boy, that's right. The love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money, now listen, is a root of all kinds of evil. It is a root. What's a root? Somebody tell me what root is.
Problem.
Beg your pardon?
Problem.
Well, I know, but everything begins where?
At the root. It grows
out. That's right. Begins at the root. Let me tell you what the dictionary says. The root of the love of money begins in the heart. It's the love of money. And Chan mentioned this the other night. It's not the having of money. I cannot have any money at all and lose my soul over money, because I crave it and I'm trying to gain it. And there are people who spend their lifetime trying to gain wealth. Isn't that the American way? That we're to gain wealth? Isn't America materialistic minded? Yes, I'm afraid they are. Some of the happiest people in the world are poor. I've known people, even when I was young, teenager, who were poor and had nothing. And as far as I'm concerned, they were the happiest people I was ever around. Good people, happy people. They didn't spend all their time trying to get money. You know, if you go down, I don't know how it is here, but I know how it was in Tennessee. You go down to some of those lakes and they'll have them all over the place, and you'll find some people there fishing and just as contented as to be with a pole and a cane pole and a plug on the end of it. You don't have to have things to be happy, but that's not what we learn in America. What's the name of the rich man in that story?
Oh, the rich man. No.
Yeah. We don't know what his name was, do we? The Lord said he was clothed in purple and fine clothing. We know that he was a rich fella. Do we understand what it is for the way that guy lived? Do we understand that? I think we do. Here's one of the problems that you have in America. A man lives, or a man and a woman lives, in a mansion. We all know what a mansion is. They are waited on hand and foot. They don't have to cook their meals. They don't have to do the dishes. They don't have to clean the house. They don't have to mow the lawn. They don't have to do any of that. They are living high on the hog. Do you see why that many of them are not interested in spiritual things? They have what they think is... And I guess it is heaven on earth, right where they are. This man spent his wealth in pleasing himself. He did not use it for God's glory, and he did not use it for the benefit of mankind. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than receive. How are you ever going to know that? By doing it. When I preached full time at a place, a man by the name of Rosanke, a wonderful man, leader in the church, he died, and I was going to preach his funeral, and they called me from Bowles' home, and they said, can we send a representative down to make a little a talk at Mr. Rozanke's funeral? And I said, sure. Well, a preacher by the name of Tom C. came, and here's what he said. Adolph Rozanke, for 25 years, was the largest giver to Bowles' home, whether it was church or individual or what. He gave more money than anybody. And here's what he said when he started it. If I ever see my name in print, you'll never get another dime. You see, he was looking for praises from who? From God, not from man. What was the sin of the rich man? That he possessed wealth? No. What was his sin?
He didn't give it. He didn't share.
Beg your pardon?
He didn't share.
All right. That's right. He didn't share. That's right.
He loved his money.
He loved his money. That is correct. You see, we're told in the scripture that people that get in trouble or lay up treasures for themselves, but they're not rich toward God. God doesn't care for us having riches, but he does care if we do not help them. And what about helping the poor? Is God concerned about that? This man may have gained all of his money honestly. He may not have robbed or done something wrong, in other words, to do. He could have been honest in all of it. But the trouble was, he was selfish. He kept it all to himself. In Luke 12:21, it says, to those who are rich, he was rich toward himself, but not toward God. This is never acceptable in God's sight, to be rich, lay up treasures for yourself, and leave God out of the matter. You know, I said from the pulpit the other day, that in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, God said, it is I that giveth thee the power to gain thy wealth. So you don't have anything that didn't come from God. I don't care what it is. You may think that you did it, but without his blessing, you would not have been able to do it. There's a great contrast between the rich man and between Lazarus. Lazarus was a man that had a lot of troubles. He was poor. They brought him and laid him at the gate. And I suppose, I have to assume this, the Bible don't say it, but the rich man must have went in and out of that gate because Lazarus begged for the crumbs that fell from his table. But the rich man wasn't interested, was he? If you, let me see how this goes. I can't remember, but if you have the ability and you have the opportunity to help someone, then that is your responsibility. You can't pass it off to someone else. Now, I didn't know this till I studied this thing about Lazarus. Now, first of all, I do not believe that that's a parable. The Bible does not call it a parable, and neither will I. But even if it was a parable, the message would be the same. This deal that I looked up, is that time to 5 minutes? This is the only story found in the New Testament where a proper name is given. The name of Lazarus. You won't find it in any other, you won't find it in any of the parables or any of the stories. Jesus, and most of the time, said this is a parable when he told it. But he didn't say that about this. We're shown the faith. I won't have time to get into that. I got pages, but we won't get it. We've shown the faith of what happened to these two men on the other side of death. All preparations to meet the Lord must be done when? In this life and now. You know, there's a world of people that's going to meet the Lord that are not prepared. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, there is no device, there is no knowledge in the grave where you're going. You can't change anything once you die. Your eternity is set when I die, according to the way my life should be on this earth. We're supposed to honor the Lord with the first fruits. Now let me tell you, you can badmouth me all you want to. I've been badmouthed before. A lot of people get their salary and they pay for everything, and whatever's left over, they give a little bit of that to the Lord. That's not what the Bible teaches us. We're supposed to give from the first fruits. That means the first we do. We get our money, the first thing we do. You know, I've known people, Foy and Helen Johnson, they're no related to me. He's a rich man. But he used to be, a long time ago, a poor man. He told me one time, many, many years ago, that him and his wife sat down and said, you know, we need to start giving more to the Lord. And he said, we begin to give generously to the Lord, and as time began to pass, we started getting more. You know, you can't just give more for the reason, and the Lord's going to bless you. No. The Lord may test you. He may test to see if you're sincere in what you're doing. And you're not doing it just for that. The Christian is going to be held accountable for every piece, cent of money that God puts in his care. Every cent. We're going to have to give an answer for. The Lord said, if you're faithful in a few things or little things, you'll be faithful in a lot. So we need to be concerned about our money and how we handle it and what we do with it. The rich man pleaded for someone to go back and warn his brothers. What did Abraham say? Yes. Even if you've got Moses and the prophets, listen to them. And he said, well, if somebody comes back from the dead, they'll hear. He said, no, they won't. Jesus come back from the dead. Do we have people in the United States that don't hear him? Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Unbelief, and I'm going to leave you with this because if I get in this other, I'll have to go a while, or you won't understand it. Unbelief is not due to a lack of evidence. Unbelief is due to a rebellious heart. I thank you all for the opportunity of being with you and bringing these lessons. I love to come here because you're such a wonderful group of people. And I thank you very much for the privilege that you extended to me. Thank you.